We want to give the remainder of the time, other than our closing song, to Andrew and Esther, and just have them come and share their hearts with us.
Good morning, Warren Alliance Church. It's great to be with you today. As we drove into Warren, it was like coming home. Esther said, this is where Grandma used to live, and she talked about some of her visits here, and then we came to church, and Aunt Liz and some of Esther's cousins are here with us visiting this morning. It's always a joy to be back with you at Warren Alliance Church. This year marks my 25th anniversary of missions conference tours, and my very first one was here at Warren Alliance Church. And Jim and Nan Chapman kindly hosted me, and it's always a joy to be back. That missions conference tour, I traveled without Esther, and I did all the speaking, so this morning she's going to take a turn and do the majority of the speaking this morning. I want to thank Pastor Doug for sharing this opportunity with us. If you don't already know us, if you don't have one of our prayer cards, we invite you to pick one up on the table in the lobby as you leave. You can also sign up for one of our prayer letters there. And we try to send those out monthly, and you can pick up one of the latest issues that's there. It's a joy to have our son Stephen with us today. Stephen finished his residency. He finished medical school a few years ago. He finished his residency in Kansas earlier this summer. Esther and I were scheduled for a four-month home assignment, so we were eager to get back in time for his graduation in June. We were thankful that the U.S. Embassy in Burkina Faso organized a repatriation flight so that we could be back on time for that special occasion. And you can pray for Stephen. He's praying about medical missions and looking for a place where he can serve stateside, get a little more experience before going overseas. So he plans to be here for the next year or two, and would appreciate your prayers for Lord's guidance as far as a place to serve during that time. You see on the prayer card that God has blessed us with five children and two daughters-in-law. And since that picture was taken 2 years ago, God has blessed us with three children. Esther and I are not as old as some of the rest of you. We're only celebrating our 30th anniversary. We celebrated on June 30th in a big way. God blessed us with our first grandson on that day, our third grandchild. We have two granddaughters. We're looking forward to a little family reunion next month here in Pennsylvania. So we're thankful that we're in Grove City during these days. All of our children are living there except for our son David, who's at Geisinger Hospital in Danville, Pennsylvania with his wife. If you don't already have a copy of the brochure, Maranatha Bible Institute is the school where we train pastors and church leaders in Burkina Faso. You can also pick one of those up on the table as you leave. If you don't already get the Alliance Life magazine, free subscription, and Esther and our colleague Kirsten Hull are pictured on the May-June issue, one of the things we did during our last months in Burkina before coming back for this home assignment was to distribute face masks. We have a tailor in our church there who helped to make over 10,000 face masks, and we did distributions. This one on the cover of the Alliance Life was at the local hospital. We did them at our Bible schools and to widows and prison and all kinds of different places. And so you can pick up the Alliance, sign up for a free subscription, go to cmaalliance.org, and you can find a way to sign up for that magazine, get a free subscription, and keep up with Alliance work around the world. Thank you for having us here again. 25 years after my first visit, it's always a joy to be back, and Esther is going to come and share with us this morning.
Yeah, where is Burkina Faso? Do we not like have a map or some idea of where that place is? Like, oh yeah, there we go. And up in the corner, you can see like the continent of Africa. And you know Africa very well because of the chaplain's daughter who's in Senegal, which is a long way away from where we are, but still on the continent of Africa. And you can see a little bit of Burkina Faso, where we have been serving since 2000, but we've actually been missionaries for a lot longer than that. I think I started my career when I was like 10 years old, but you know, right? It's like, yeah. But so true confession this morning, even though I have my relatives here and they'll be taking notes like crazy, but I have a huge fear of the dark. Now, I don't know when it started. I can't really tell you. I was born in the Philippines. My dad, who grew up here in Warren, Pennsylvania, went as a missionary to the Philippines. And I was sort of born in sunshine on the side of a beach. I didn't know what shoes were or coats or anything. You know, I ran around a little sundress half the time. And when I was 5 years old, my family moved back to the United States due to polio that my dad and my older sister had. And so I was suddenly like submerged in cold. Well, even July 4th in Warren, let's be honest, you need a coat, right? Like, let's be honest. But, you know, cold and dark and rainy. And so maybe that's when my great fear of the dark started. So very strange that the Lord called me to go to West Africa, because without electricity, without some of the conveniences, we often find ourselves in the dark. And I remember one time we had not been there very long. I didn't know any of the local languages, and we traveled to visit some colleagues. And we got there late in the evening, and we were looking forward to, you know, something cold to drink and putting our feet up, but there was a knock at the door. There were some men that had come. A woman who was out in a village had just delivered a baby and was bleeding, very sick, and would someone come? And since I was the only nurse, you know, I'm the one that gets the little bag and gets to go. Now, is that the truck? Like, where's the truck? We have to show a picture of a truck in Warren, Pennsylvania. What? Well, not quite the Ram that you drive, but I was loaded into this truck with two men on either side of me in this little tiny cab. And it was, yeah, it was an old truck like that. And they used their arms to keep the doors closed, okay? You get the picture of this truck. And I don't know, these Peugeots, have they never gotten it right? It sort of seems like it caves in the middle or something. And I wasn't sure if I should be shifting gears. Well, how many gears did this truck have? I don't even think it had two that were functioning. Anyway, we started out, and I was wondering, you know, how far it is. And they're like, yeah, not far, not far. Don't believe it, okay? When somebody says not far, that's like a three-day drive. So we start out in this truck, and it is dark. And I can't speak to either of these men because I don't know their language and they don't know mine. And the headlights on this thing begin to get a little dim, which I don't get, because usually the battery, when it's running, like, doesn't that keep, come on, all you mechanics, what's going on, right? But the headlights start to get dim, and this is when I sort of go into panic mode. My heart is racing, and I'm looking at these two guys that I don't know. I don't know where we're going. It is dark. And so how long is this trip going to be? And finally, is it after an hour? Is it after an hour and a half? We pull into where there's just some little outlines of some huts, and they take me out of the truck. I go into this room. It's pitch black. I can't see a thing. They guide me over to a mat on the floor. I kneel down, and I can feel blood all around me. And this woman, who I can't see, I can only feel, I hardly know if she is still living. I hear a baby crying, so I think, okay, her child is going to be okay. But I have a bag, I have IVs, I know what I should do, but I can't see anything, and I'm scared to death. And so I wait, and I wait, because if there is not light, I can't do a thing. I think that the Bible gives us lots of different pictures of what life is like for people who don't know Christ. You know, thirsty, right? If you're hiking up to the Kinzu Dam or if you're trying to do your 5K, you know what thirsty is and how good that drink of water. The Bible says if you don't know Jesus, you're thirsty. It talks about the dry land, right? We've been wanting rain in Pennsylvania, right? And we know what cracked dry land, what that means. People without Christ, they're like those leaves that are just sort of blown away. Those who know the Lord are like a tree planted, what? Oh, you're not sleeping already, are you? No, right? Like a tree planted by streams of water. The Bible says, and this is why we don't get upset at our leaders who don't make good decisions, they're like people always studying and never knowing the truth. And they're killing themselves to understand coronavirus. The Lord knows everything. Ask of me, right? Okay, good. Thank you. That's right. So also, the one that speaks to me because I have such a fear of darkness is the idea of dark and light. And you know, if you start back in Genesis, what does it say? Genesis 1, we're right there, verse 3. Then God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then what did he do? He separated the light and the darkness. And that is going to happen very soon when the Lord Jesus returns. If you look a little farther ahead in the book of Psalms, and there it says what? Psalm, what is it? 107, is it? What's up there on the screen? You all have the screen there. Psalm 107, verse 10. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom. Can you picture that if you don't know the Lord Jesus? It's darkness and deepest gloom. And then this wonderful verse in Isaiah 9:2, what is it? The people who walk in darkness, what? Huh? Uh-oh, you're not talking to me. Do I look too weird? Are these clothes, like, is it the hat? What's going on with this woman? I don't know, right? The people who walk in darkness see a great light, and that is the picture of the Lord Jesus. And the idea from God's word is that sin plunges us into darkness. Are you with me? Right? And what does Jesus say? It said of him, John 1:1, you knew I was going there, right? You know this. What is it? The word who is the Lord Jesus, what? He gives life to everything. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness can never understand it, can never extinguish it, no matter how bad, how strong that darkness feels. God's light, who is Jesus Christ, it's going to overcome it. Wow, are you here this morning, right? That's not just an amen, that's a hallelujah. Huh? That is what that is, because that darkness, no. When the light of Christ shines, there it is. And then if you jump ahead to John 8, are you with me? Buckle up, we're traveling today, right? Jesus says what? I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. But how strange when we look at Luke 23, wow, is she going to preach the whole Bible or what? What's going on with her today? Luke 23, they're telling us about Jesus' death, the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But look at Luke 23, 44. It says, by this time it was about noon. And what happens? Am I allowed to say I can't hear you? What? Huh? What happens? Darkness. How is it, Jesus, that you tell us you're the light of the world and yet darkness covered the earth that afternoon? Jesus took all of our darkness on himself when he died on that cross so that we could have the light shining in us and that we in turn could become the light of the world. You know John 3:16 so well, but if you continue on in John chapter 3, it tells us this. John 3:19, it says, God's light came into the world, but what? People loved darkness more than light. God's light, Jesus, came into the world, but people love darkness better than light. And so we have these two forces at work, darkness and light, darkness and light. And you send us to Burkina Faso to go into darkness with the light. Are you with me? Are you here? That is what we as international workers, you as the people who support us, that is what we are doing. We are taking light into the darkness. We teach full-time at a Bible school. One of our pastor's wives who began with us 2 years ago, not now, Martine. And I'm telling you, you have never seen darkness hold on like it did in this young woman's life. She would sit in the back of the classroom, not even able to lift her head up. And so right away, I'm like, oh no, you're right up here. You're right up front here. So even though she moved her seat up there, she wouldn't look at me. In the afternoons, I go out and I teach Bible studies in different areas of our city and in nearby villages. And so I said to Martine, you're coming with me. And I would sit her right next to me in the car. But she never cracked a smile, never looked interested. You could almost feel the darkness on her. And that was like 6 months, praying for her, bring her everywhere. And one day in Bible study, I don't know what I did, something stupid, which I could do that this morning too, so hold on. But did I drop my pen? Did I spill water on? I don't know what it was, but I heard her laugh. And that was the beginning of light coming on for her. And on the way home, I said to her, you know, I saw you laughing at me. And she said, I don't know when I've ever laughed before. That's what darkness does. She was raised in a family that worships idols. She was given as a very young child, as a wife, to some evil spirit. And sometimes the darkness holds on. But I'm telling you this morning, the light of Christ will overcome any darkness. I was at a Bible study, and afterwards the pastor said to me that a man had come and said that his wife was in a difficult situation. He was in real despair. Would we come and pray for her? We get to this house where this man lives with his wife. They're not believers. We go in. You can't believe the darkness. And I said to him, well, can we open a window? Oh, no, no, no. She gets upset if there's any light. Well, I don't care. I grabbed that woman, and we are going out into the light. And we got out there, and her eyes are blinking, and she hardly knows what's going on. And I said, you will not live in darkness anymore. The light of Christ is coming into your life. And she was changed. She was transformed. The next week, she was at Bible study with us. We have gone out this past year. We've started some new ministry initiatives targeting young women in our city. And because we understand the light of Christ, we go into those dark areas, out onto the streets Friday night, bringing the light of Christ to prostitutes, young women working as prostitutes to pay their way through school, and tell them about the Lord Jesus. Sin is darkness. Sin invades, and it is darkness. And we go as the light of Christ, and we will overcome that darkness. So you are sending us as light into the world. You remember that song? We didn't sing it this morning, but now I'm going to show my age. I'm hoping those that have been married 40 years know the song. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. send the light, send the light. There are, what? Rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. And that is what you are doing. The last verse, maybe, I don't know, there's a bunch of verses to that song. Do you remember how it goes? It goes, let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light. And maybe you are feeling a little bit weary with missions. You've been working, sending, you've sent people out from your fellowship, you support us. We can grow weary, we can grow tired in sending the light, in doing that work. And that's why that hymn encourages us. Let us not grow weary. Let us finish this race that God has marked out for us. We have a ministry at our hospital. Earlier when Andrew was sharing with you, you saw a picture of the hospital where we serve. We go in and pray for the sick, sharing light, telling about Jesus. And we go on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Now, you don't know heat in Warren, Pennsylvania. Come to Burkina Faso, right? Well, you maybe know heat the last week or so. But 1 p.m. is like the hottest time of the day. And I had been, I do a radio broadcast. Usually I record Wednesday mornings. At 1 p.m., I'm in the hospital. We're praying at the chapel. I am tired. It's like the last thing I want to do is start walking through these wards, praying for the sick. We started out on our, you know, normal routine, and this man comes running over, a man that I knew from town where I do some shopping, and he said, my little daughter is sick. Could you please come and pray for her? Which, of course, we did. He wasn't a believer. But we go and go into this pediatric ward of the hospital. And I have a team of Burkina Bay women that are with me. We went over, I can't describe to you this ward. All these children, there's not enough beds. They're on the ground. They are sick. They are crying. Any kind of illness, high fevers, bad coughs, malaria, it's all there in this same room. And the smell is overwhelming. So you have the heat, you have the smell, you have the crying children. And we're making our way to pray for this little girl that's sick, and all of a sudden, I see it. It's a little child who has died. And still on that hospital bed in that room with all these other children and parents that are fighting for their lives. And that was it for me. It was like, okay, I can take the heat, I can take the crying kids, I can take the smells, but I can't handle that. Like that just, no, I'm done. That's enough for me. I'm out of here. And I walked out. I just, no. And I went out and I sort of tried to hide behind this tree. And wouldn't you know, the dad of that dead child followed me out. And he came to where I was and he said, are you a Christian? Yeah, because I got like, you know, I had my church uniform on and blah, blah, blah. I said, yes. He said, 3 months ago, someone like you came to our village, meaning, you know, a missionary, and I accepted Christ. And when I saw you come in, I knew Jesus had come into our room. And he said, we came here to the city. They sent us here. We don't know anyone here. Our child has died. We don't know where to bury her. We don't know how to even go anywhere. We were thinking of tying her on the back of her mom and walking back to where we live. And boy, in a few minutes, we had called people. And a car came, and young men from our church came, and they were hustled off, not the mom, but the child, and the dad went out to bury that child, and we drove them back to their village. And at that moment, I would have done anything to have been in that room. and been that answer to prayer for them. And yeah, we get weary and we get tired and we're the injustices and why are there so many poor people? Why is there so much darkness in this world? And yet God brought me from the day I was born in the Philippines all the way on this journey. And if it was the only thing he wanted me to do in my life was to be in that hospital room at that moment, I was willing. I was willing. I was willing to be Jesus in that room to that family that was so much in need. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light. Send the light. And we are thankful that you send us to be light in Burkina Faso. And we know during COVID, it's been tough. It's been hard to give to missions and to support your missionaries and to continue to think about lost people when so much need is right here in our corner. But Jesus said, go into the whole world. And you know, yeah, you're going to see me through the whole Bible. That means we end up in Revelation, right? Revelation 21, and it's the vision of John. You know it very well. And he says he sees this city that we will one day be living in. My son took me to, what was it? John Horton's, or what's the name of that place? Wow, I think there's going to be one of those in that city. What do you think, huh? Come on, that's worth the drive. And what does John say here? He says, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God is there. And the city has no need of what? Of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed, because there is no night there. Wow. Aren't you longing for that city? No darkness, no oppression, no injustice, no people talking rudely to each other or using bad language or getting angry. Wow, no presidential elections. Can we say amen to that? Huh? Come on, right? What a day that will be when we enter that city. And I love the fact all the nations will bring their glory and honor into this city. And because of you and your support of us, those nations will include people from Burkina Faso, West Africa. They will include people from Senegal for your missionaries there and everywhere where the Christian and Missionary Alliance is working. There will be people from those nations in that city because of what you do. John's revelation, yeah, he is coming. This is our message. God is light. And may that light, may all peoples of the world see that light and walk in the light as we do. Thank you.